If we only take a superficial look at our gospel today, we might think we're dealing with what I like to call party pooper Jesus. Let me explain. Here Jesus is in Jerusalem with the disciples, who for all intents and purposes were young boys from the country. And they're in the big city, and here they are in front of the temple. By all standards, even today's standards, would have been magnificent. Would have been incredible. And the disciples are saying, "Jesus, look how incredible this building is." And Jesus immediately turns and says, "Well, the whole thing is going to be destroyed." But there's a deeper message here that we need to hear versus all sort of the doomsday language that comes next. Jesus is actually preparing his disciples for what does happen. The temple is destroyed. The early church is persecuted. There is chaos, confusion, and darkness in those first decades after Jesus was resurrected. And so he's simply preparing them for what is to be. But listen to what he says happens in that chaos and darkness. He says, first off, that this isn't the end, that God has more in store, so do not be terrified. He then says that in the midst of this chaos and darkness, rely on God. In fact, don't even come up with a defense, that you will be given the words that you need at the time you need them, and no one will be able to dispute you. There will be struggle, even ultimate struggle, but in the midst of that struggle, God is there supporting the disciples, empowering the disciples, and in that, they will actually gain their souls. They will discover their very selves. And so what's important to hear in this, what Jesus is trying to tell his disciples, is that in the midst of the chaos and darkness to come, God will be in the midst of them, giving them exactly what they need. Now, thankfully, our lectionary writers did us a favor today. They gave us the iconic story or message from the prophet Isaiah as our Old Testament reading. And remember, Isaiah was speaking to a group of Jewish people who had been in exile for hundreds of years. Jerusalem had been destroyed, and they were slaves in a foreign land. And to these Jewish people, lost and afraid and away, he says that God is creating a new heaven and a new earth. And the word creating here, in the entire Hebrew scriptures, it's only in this form used by God, and it's the exact same form used in the beginning of creation. So God is doing what God always does, creating new heaven and earth. And the old, the chaos and the darkness and the trauma, it will be forgotten. There will be no memory of it. No more weeping. No more lives cut short. All will live to the fullest. In this new heaven and earth, there will be security in terms of housing, food, and meaningful labor. Before God's people speak, God will hear them. And the diametrically opposed wolf and lamb, two extreme opposites, will feed together. And the lion, the symbol of great power and ferociousness, will eat straw. This is the consummate vision of God for God's creation and God's people. Now we're going to bring this home. You ready? There was an event last week that I'm sure you're all familiar of that has radically altered our communal lives. Now what's funny is that going by statistics, 48% of you actually didn't participate in it. You didn't vote. But of those who did vote in the county of Duval, 48% of you chose one way, and 48% of you chose another. Thanks for putting me in that conundrum. So I'm going to speak how we can practically apply these two stories of God's fullness and God's promise in our lives to both groups individually, and then I'm coming back together. First, the first 48%. This is not the end times. Now, I know it may feel like that. You may feel scared, awful, and hurt. I want you to know you need to feel that. Feel that. Because in order to heal, we must feel. So if you're there, that's okay. God is with you as well. I want you to rely upon the words from that began our canticle today, again from Isaiah. Surely it is God who saves me. I will trust in him and not be afraid. I want you to remember the words of Jesus to the disciples in the midst of their upcoming chaos and darkness. Do not be terrified. Remember that Jesus promises that what we need, we will be given. What you need, you will be given. And so this is an opportunity for you to proclaim Christ and the living God and stand firm with those who feel abandoned. So when and where you see racism, sexism, misogyny, homophobia, xenophobia, where you see oppression and hatred, you must be there also to say that is not God's will or way, and God will be there as well. And in doing so, you will discover your very own soul and honor other souls as well. All right, the other side, the other 48%. A loud voice has cried out. A voice has cried out, and it is your voice. And you've cried out, listen to our needs. And you have been heard. The tables have been turned. The proverbial Goliath has been struck down, and society has been reminded, appropriately so, that all are God's children and cannot be forgotten. So we have an opportunity here. You have an opportunity for something new. There is potential for greatness. And yet, while there is potential for greatness, you must not sit passively by, because this potential for greatness is also not the promised land. It is not the fullness of the vision of Isaiah for God's people, nor is it the ultimate purpose and promise of God. No government can provide that. So now I say to all of us, to everyone here, that it is our identity as Jesus followers to be peacemakers, to be ministers of reconciliation, and to be agents of blessing in this world and this city, because we are divided. You see, we as Christians, we are in this world, but we are not of this world. Our ultimate leader, our commander-in-chief, is Jesus Christ. And so our identity, everyone here, is primarily first as a child of God, a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, and a follower of Jesus. That must be what drives us. That is who we truly are. And so, as followers of Jesus, living into who we truly are, we will continue doing what we have always done, what we were meant to do. We're going to serve the Lord. We're going to serve our neighbors. We're going to serve the stranger. We're going to stand with the poor, the neglected, the abused, the oppressed, the forsaken, the forgotten, as Jesus stands with them and stands with us. We're going to love God. We're going to love our neighbor. We're going to love ourselves. We're going to love our enemies. And so we will continue in the unique and specific way that God wants us to, that Jesus empowers us to live into God's eternal vision, where the young will laugh with the old, the urban dweller sitting with the rural dweller, the rich walking with the poor, black people sharing meals with white people, straight people and gay people dancing together, Christians, Jews, and Muslims praying together, Republicans and Democrats embracing each other, and yes, even Florida Gators and Georgia Bulldogs kissing each other. It's God's dream. And that divider, the devil, who wants us against us, to see us as other and not as one, that divider, the devil, we will leave in the dust to be remembered no more. For God is love. We were created in the image of God, so let us be driven by love.